So I always see in the throat chakra, there's very minimal, like, of somebody who's stuck there, including like myself when I was first opening it up, I was constantly stuck there. And so I'll see which elements aren't flowing through there. They need more fire. Okay, what does that sound like? Don't even try and make it a logical thing. Don't even bring your mind into it. Fire, what does that sound like?
Welcome, beautiful you, to Girl on Her Moon, the podcast. My name is Jordan, and I invite you to join us as we connect, share our experience, and become one for a moment. From topics like self-worth, creativity, expression, intuition, and soul, to astrology, numerology, tarot, energetics, and more. And then the topics that are undefinable and ungraspable, exploring what it means to be alive, to be rooted in both our divinity and humanness, and returning to the space where they are one. Thank you for being on this journey with us. Hello, Patty.
Hi, Jordan.
I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Oh my gosh, me too. Like, I've been so excited for days. And then last night when I was feeling into the energy of it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be just magical.
I bet we were doing that at the same time, because I was like laying in bed last night just going through all of the possibilities, and a lot of new doors opened last night as well. I was like, oh, I see that's why I had this note written down, or I see my processes to, you know, the initial ideas that I had for a conversation, and then how they get deeper and deeper and deeper, and I see the process that I went through. And so I'm very excited, and there's also mystery, as there always is.
Oh, yes.
But should we start with just a little bit about you, a little bit about your work, anything that you want to share, any direction that you want to go in? I know some of our members have already gotten glimpses of you through our membership. I think last year we did a collaboration.
Yeah, that's right. We did a special full moon.
Yeah, I think activation. It was sound healing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Which is so relevant today, that just clicked. So yeah, okay. Any direction that you'd like to go in, just tell me a little bit about your magical self.
Well, my magical self.
Yeah.
In human form. I am a mum to two little light worker girls, Bella and Clara, and they are just the most incredible teachers. Like, and there's this beautiful balance in our relationship of them teaching me and me teaching them, and everything that comes through, because I'm always plugged in and connected as I bring through how I'm meant to guide them in that moment. And there's always magic in it for my own self. And then I just get to show up a little more clearer than I had the moment before, when I was in that moment of frustration of like, ah, why are you not listening? And then just tuning in as soon as I get that reaction, and then, okay, this is what they need to hear. This is the energy they need you to embody. And then breathing and surrendering, that it's just magical anyway, being a mum to these little light workers, and, yeah, seeing the sensitivity and why they've come through the way that they have. It's such a blessing.
I love that this is where you started. I can just like see your heart bursting right now. It's so beautiful.
They are like the purpose of my work, and not just them as this very close-knit human family that I've got, you know, me, hubby, and these beautiful little girls, but they represent humanity to me. So everything that I meet with them, I expand it out across the planet and even universally. So that any being that's needing whatever's coming through just gets blasted with it. So sorry, everyone, if you feel these supercharges sometimes. No. Patty's at work.
Yeah. Just take a deep breath and bring it in. Patty is just like, whether you're watching or listening, but Patty is just like this pink light right now. And so just if you're listening, just breathe in and take in that beautiful pink light.
Yeah, so much pink. That theme. Where I walk, it is pink. And so, I'm an intuitive energy master and mentor. So I've been working with energy my whole life, not always fully aware of it. So I came through very intuitive. And like so many of us here, especially in this community, it's filled with super sensitive, empathic, and you know, intuitive people that just haven't really learnt the language of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, doing that as a little girl, I was so open to learning how to be human from my humans who are around me. Okay. And realizing the disconnect between what I knew I was here to show up as compared to how they were showing up and, you know, expressing their human self a lot of the time as a wounded human rather than bringing in this light that we're here to be. So it was a whole lot of witnessing. I learned very early on I had to step back and witness mm-hmm. because as soon as I'd step into it, I'd become caught up in it. And then I couldn't hold the space for them like I felt called to do.
That's quite profound that you were doing that at like young. Because I was definitely not. I was like drowning in it.
Yeah, yeah, it's so easy to do. And that's what happened with me. I was like suicidal for so much of my childhood as I was first opening to it. Mm. And I just remember praying to God, like, please just take me. I can't deal with this anymore. It's too hard. Just please. And here, like, you know, I had a cousin that I was super close with and looked up to. He passed away when I was super young. He was only a teenager. Mm-hmm. And that moment for me was so pivotal. And looking back at it now, I can see that for me was the moment where I could either sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
And something Dad always said to us growing up was, you get to choose how much you let something hurt you. And that just empowered me and like supercharged me through everything that I've ever faced. Like, that's been my guiding light. Just, I've got the choice here. Nothing else around me. I get to control how I handle this. And that for me was him in his human form supporting me in like showing up how he knew I was meant to show up as well.
Mm.
And so, yeah, that I've been working with energy since a tiny little girl, and then just tracking and mapping and playing like it's the adventurous little girl in me. And for me, like having the courage to do it, even when I was fearful as anything, the courage was what supercharged that as well. So I work with energy now professionally and have been, as a standalone service, I've been doing it now for about, I want to say maybe 12, 15 years, I think.
Wow.
And before that, I was always doing this work in my other professions, like, you know, retail management, and I've always worked with people. That was my thread since a little girl working at our like family farm's roadside fruit stall as like a 6-year-old serving and just seeing people's whole demeanor change when they'd show up and I'd just be like, I'm here, what would you like, you know, and then just taking them through an experience, just an interaction. And that was really where I started tracking. They've showed up like this, but now they're like this, and then looking at what happened between here and here, that I was doing something there and I realized it was a vibration I was holding and radiating it so freely that they could then entrain off my system. That's
incredible.
Yeah. That's the gift, I feel.
Has there been much outer influence in this process, like as in learning from different teachers or you know, schools of thought or whatever? Was it mainly an internal exploration?
Definitely an internal one was the foundation of it. So we didn't have access like we do now when I was growing up to all of, you know, these spiritual works that are now everywhere. Yeah. And we grew up on a farm and you know, growing fruit and veggies. So everything was about, you know, tending these plants and hopping up in the freezing cold, wet mornings in the rain, picking the beans just after daylight. And I actually left school early to do that. School wasn't for me. I wasn't comfortable and it was too overwhelming. Mm. And I remember I said to Dad, look, I can't go back. I just can't go back. So just before the end of year eight, he said, okay, well, if you leave school, you've got to work on the farm. I'm like, okay, I will do it.
Wow.
To me, I could handle the physical pain more than I could handle the emotional and mental turmoil of those that were around me because I hadn't built out the boundaries yet.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be something that we're really going to discuss later, is the boundaries.
Definitely.
Where they're not strong or even in place is where a lot of us come unstuck.
So something that I've heard or just seen across a lot of people that are working in a very like
energy rich and from a mastery kind of place is that working with the land has been like their greatest anchor and teacher. Do you think that that had a lot to do with your journey?
Yeah, I had like, so because we live under like at the foothills of Mount Warning. So it's like the core of an old volcano.
And wow. That's big energy, a volcano.
Massive, yeah. We see it in the weather that moves through hollow floods. And so living on this, like on this mountain, like Dad terraced it and everything, and I saw the determination in this man, like getting these dozers to level out just a portion of the land. Like he owned so much of this mountain, he only carved out a small area so that he could do what he needed, and then the rest is still there today. And there's so many spots that I would go to on the property that this is my go-to. And whenever I've met something, I'd go up, and it's like you could reach out and touch the mountain across the river. Like it's so close.
Yeah.
And there was so much healing in that, just this nurturing. It's definitely been an anchor. I wouldn't have felt safe to stay in my human body if I didn't have that support from the earth without even realizing it.
Mm. So when you were talking earlier about being suicidal, and I'm just possibly following a thread here, just out of curiosity. So you actually, you died, right? How long ago?
2015. I love how you said that. So you, I don't know how to say
it. I didn't know how to say it.
Yeah, 2015 I died, and then 2019 I almost died again. But I was smarter this time. I got there earlier, so they were able to operate the second time. They saved me, and it was like they said, like half hour off this time. Like, yes.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't go all the way this time.
Can you tell me a little bit about how kind of nearing death in the space of being suicidal and then actually dying and then kind of going on that edge again, like how has that shaped you? How has that been a part of your life?
The level of courage I have and the capacity to surrender and trust is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If you put it on a chart, you couldn't measure it. It is eternal and infinite. I just trust in the process of life and the afterlife, like because I know where we're going. And I know so deeply who I am. Who I was beyond this human body when I died is who I am now. So nothing's going to change. I just won't have a body where I get to express colors this way. My light just has to express. So I may come back in a beautiful pink light and visit people.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying to my little girl the other day. Like the other night she was having trouble getting off to sleep. And I said, okay, feel my energy because I was, you know, split between the two girls. My three-year-old needed a tummy tickled and everything. Mm-hmm. And then my nine-year-old was up on her bed and she needed, but I couldn't reach. I physically could not reach the two of them. I'm like,
okay, well, you're a little human. Yeah.
I will go energetically then. So I was singing to them and I said, okay, so babe, just soften and breathe here. Come into your body, put your hand over your tummy, one over your heart. And now feel yourself opening to my energy, moving through the cells of your body. And she said, I feel like it's happening. It's a bit tricky though. I said, yeah, this is why we practice though. And I said, and one day when I'm not in my body, if you call on me, you will know when I'm here because you'll say, that's mum's energy. I know that. And you'll even feel it in the cells of your body. It'll be like I'm hugging you. So let's do the work now. So when that happens, it's so much easier for you. You don't feel alone because you won't be. I'm going to stalk you.
That is so precious. I'm so, like, it makes me so full to see you interacting with your children that way. I think it's so precious.
It's always adventurous and fun.
Yeah.
And so love-filled. Like, the love is always at the core of it and not, like, love, you know, conditional love. It is unconditioned and unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So however I've been loved by any other human doesn't factor into how I show up to love in that moment. whatever they've done before, that doesn't affect how I'm showing up to love them. I'm open, I'm bringing in that divine love, light and wisdom, and bam, whatever that looks like, we will see.
Oh, I love that. Can you, well, actually, so I have been thinking about the first time that we interacted. It was over Zoom, and we were on a group call, and then we randomly, or not so randomly, got placed into a breakout room together.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember this?
I remember it, and I was so excited I got put with you.
Me too, because when we were in the group call, you always had this, it was as if the sun was right behind you and just shining into the call, and your face is at the center of this burst of light, and it was so fitting to who you are. But I got off that call and I wanted to tell Mustafa everything about what I had just experienced, but I physically couldn't. I was like, how do I put this into words? Because I had never experienced anything like that. I had never intentionally worked with energy with another person. And so that was like my introduction into it. Can you do your best with the words that are available to explain like what a session is like with you when you're working with you one-on-one?
Magical. Miraculous. You're just going to get a bunch of random words. No. Do you mean like how do I experience it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, I literally just show up, create a space, and surrender. I make sure I'm plugged into the right channels. I make sure my boundaries are all fully guarded and protected and sealed and strengthened. And then that's why they can be so powerful, because then I just step out of the way. My own individualized human experience, my own individualized soul journey gets to just bear witness to somebody else receiving what they need, because this is what I create for myself every moment of every day. I am constantly just in this portal. And then, you know, there'll be things that happen, I'll slip into my mental, you know, intellectual aspect of self. And then with that, I'm straight onto it and then bring it back into my whole being. So it's not that I disregard it, but I get it online and get this figure eight flowing through that communication. So when I show up to hold a space for someone, it's different every single time, because, and I'm glad about that, because if they show up and the energy is the same as their previous session, then they haven't had a shift. So I would gracefully back out and say, this doesn't appear to be that I'm the right person for you right now. So let's maybe check out who would be best for you, what your next step is now, so that we can get that moving for you. I'm not afraid to surrender. Non-attachment is a huge quality to have working with energy. Non-attachment, the surrender, the ability to forgive and shed and let go. These are all things, and courage. You have to have the most ridiculous amount of courage to just leap from everywhere you're meant to go, because it'll take me, when I show up and this person is here in the space with me, I will step back and I will see them as a whole picture. And then from there, I'm shown one little portal in. And then I head through there, and then it takes me like almost like a wormhole, like on this portal, and it's like I'm moving through their entire timeline of their soul. And along the way, there's people, there's emotions, there's thoughts, and every single one, I go for what's significant. So I don't need to stop and address that moment where that person was mean to them in that moment. That one's insignificant because it links back to an origin. So I'll keep tracking it. I'm like, okay, yep, got that. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And then I'll go right back to its origin. And that's where the big energy is. So in that moment, I'm brought into a moment in time and a scene, as if you're watching a movie and you're seeing this person playing out this scene and being able to witness, okay, this is their divine human self. This is their soul light. This is who they were showing up as. What was the disconnect in that moment? and then recoding it and rethreading it, bringing through whatever words, sounds, whatever guidance needs to come through, shifting that very moment. So then none of the other ones, I don't need to stop and look at each of them because we've gone to the origin, and then it can get this clear flow of energy back through them. And then they take a breath, and it's like seeing somebody reborn every time. It's like, And for me, a big part of what really amplified the work that I do is when I did die in 2015 is when I was leaving my body and I was holding on. The first layers of my field as I was leaving it, I was like, oh, please, no, not yet, please, not yet, not yet, not yet. Like I've got this little girl here at the end of my bed watching me die. Please, not yet. Like she was three. And hubby was there, and I remember seeing just like his face go white. And I'm like, nope, I've got to come back and guide them through what they've just witnessed. There's nobody in their life that could do that. So I'm like, okay, and I just got this settling. Once I move through that layer, the mental and the emotional aspects of the human psyche, move through that and then just straight up and out. And then I just got taken on this journey. I was shown all of these different energies, and not one of them was fearful. Not one of them was lack or scarcity or violence or battling. None of that is true to who we are. So it was like I was gifted that code, that template of that, you know, divine human nature, our divinity, where it is all loving, it is abundant, and not from a yes, love, abundance. I mean real love, real abundance, where I'm showing up for you so abundant and overflow. My system is so filled up that I can show up and hold you while you move through your stuff so you become abundant. Mm-hmm. And then it's this ripple effect across the planet. So that really for me cemented, I was able to bring it into my body as a cell because I was conscious the whole time.
When you remember all of this.
All of it. And I feel it. It's I work in that channel and I'm constantly bringing that through, and I can feel, okay, that person needs that quality amplified. That person needs that one to be cleared. Mm-hmm. That one needs to like open up more. It's like this little shell covered in cement. Like there's energy shows up in so many different expressions, and working with it, you've got to be willing to see it in every frequency it exists. So when you look at a rainbow, somebody might just see those initial really obvious colors. But if you actually look a little closer, you'll see where it changes right through each color. But within each color, there's a shade either side, and through the middle of it, there's a strand. And that's the one that you're like, that's the magic that's connecting into the earth. And breathe.
My brain's still kind of catching up. There are a few different directions that – actually, can I just share how this feels and looks for me while we're going through something like this, and in the times that we've worked with each other energetically? They feel like little threads, so like little glowing silver threads that spark if you say something, you say a particular, you know, you talk about an experience or something, and this thread sparks that if I then follow it, apparently it just matches up with something over there on the other side that, you know, I couldn't previously see before, but it's like, it's calls my name to go in that direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I forgot what they were because I explained that. Okay, yeah, so actually I wanted to go back to when you were talking about when you are in a session with someone and you are kind of traveling across this timeline of this person, and just the way that you're saying that makes so much sense to my experience with working with you, because you will say things that relate to my relationship with like particular people. And you did this before we had ever actually had a conversation. So it's not like you knew me a little bit, or like we'd been talking for a while, you knew my story. You were saying things about my childhood, my parents, my siblings, before we had ever had a conversation. And I was like, how the hell? Not to mention, excuse me, not to mention, I was on the other side of the world I was in Turkey at the time, you were in Australia, and it was as if you were physically moving parts of my body. Like I could feel you moving around, like in my back or, you know, my hips, and I could just feel you there. And I was like, this is insane. My first experience into this world, and I've got this person on the other side of the world, like in my body, like shoveling up stuff.
It gets
it's
really
so profound. Yeah, it's absolutely profound. So this is how. So it sounds like it's quite a visual experience for you. Like you see a lot.
It's sensory. So when I'm taken through it, when I get to a significant point, that's mm-hmm. where I show up fully. So I'll be able to smell smells. Hear sounds. Like there'll be a bird chirping, and I'll be like, that bird was there. What was its message in that moment? Okay, they needed that medicine. Goodness. They missed that medicine. And it's quicker than like clicking your fingers. Like there's, it all happens all at once. All of this is happening. So that's why, you know, like in my sessions, you know, 20 minutes, I can have somebody have a massive transformation because I'm not restricting it by timeline. I'm honoring their system, and I keep coming back and checking yeah. in with their nervous system and making sure it's yeah. supported. And that's where a sound will come in, or, you know, and then my hands will come in. I will literally be holding their heart field, you know, or wherever they're needing to be held. My arms will be around them, hugging them to help them anchor back into their body and feel safe in it, and literally mothering them.
Mm.
So for me, it's, yeah, when I get to a significant point, that's where I show up fully and my whole being is available to it, and I'm in that moment with them. And then I can bring that medicine through and know exactly how to show up in human form because I'm embodying the energy of the medicine, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Just the level of trust that is necessary with this kind of work is like so profound. There is no systematic rule book or instructions or there's nothing that tells you, actually I'm not sure if that's true, but there's no concrete anything that says, yes, you're doing this in the right way. If there is only one right, correct way, there's no checklist. There's nothing. There's nothing that the human brain can attach to and say, yes, I'm doing good. It's crazy.
That's why there's no room for ego in it. When I show up in my life in general, I don't need a single person to come and see me and say, Patty, you're doing a great job, pat on the back, and that will change my system. I'm plugged into these origins, that origin of pure love where we come from up above, and as we were born into the earth, that's all I need. And I know that if my energy's flowing clearly, then I'm on the right path. And if it's not, if I'm not showing up feeling magnificent, then I've just got something to evolve. I'm just mm-hmm. upgrading that template. That wounded human template is still being upgraded into the divine human template. And I, just like every other human, will slip into that, but I see it straight away.
Yeah.
And I do the work constantly. I'm constantly conscious of it because since I died, I've never slept. In the sense of I sleep as a human, I rest peacefully, but my consciousness, I'm aware of it. So when I go to bed at night, I always set the space and the intention for what will happen while my body is resting. And I ask that everything come through that supports my body so that she may rest peacefully and heal and be bolstered up, ready for the day that's coming, and to show up and bring more of that light through. My only intention every day before I even open my eyes is I plug in, I say good morning and thank you for a beautiful night's sleep, even if it wasn't a beautiful night's sleep, even if I was getting a university lecture all night, but my body feels rested. And then I just open up and say, please let me be the most beautiful expression of divine love, light and wisdom upon the earth today through my own radiant soul light's expression through every aspect of my being. My human self, my soul self, and my spirit self, through my thoughts, my beliefs, my words, and my actions, my behaviors, and my feelings, and my emotions. And then I let it go. And however the day unfolds, it unfolds.
And so for someone who perhaps is new to this kind of experience and the words that we're using here, what does it mean to set the space? What does it mean to plug in? And what are some easy ways to step into that if it's a very new experience for someone?
The first thing you got to look at is your mental body. So the thoughts that are coming up, because they'll activate that survival template and fear. So somebody that's very new to it, where they are a real baby, like a newborn baby, they will be screaming the whole way through it. So, and this is really useful because I teach my little girls, you know, I've been teaching them since they were tiny. And then I'll just say, is that your mind speaking? Is it your body? Or is it your soul light? And then, so with that, you would first become aware that there's different aspects of you. Mm-hmm. You're just your thoughts. You're not just your emotions. You are this being that's expressed through different qualities. So if you've got the qualities built out that are of surrender and forgiveness and trust and compassion and abundance, then that's going to support you. So for somebody that's coming in you to do this work, if you want to just do it at a base level, I would say, like, take them through just the process of working with their energy field. And this is what I do in just my e-guide, the protecting and maintaining your energy field. So with that, just seal up. So what that looks like, should I take everyone on a process?
Yeah.
What to do?
Sure, let's do this.
So first thing you do is take a deep breath in and out, hands on heart. And there's always a sound because we are elemental beings and every element in our being is expressed through a sound. It's also expressed through a dominant emotion, but we'll look at that later on down the track. But first, this is really important for the topic of, you know, the voice, letting it get used to expressing its elemental nature. Is it a sigh? Is it, you know, a cry? Is it just a groan? Is it shouting? Is it singing? Like, what is the sound? If you were to make a sound now that was true to what your body, your being on an elemental level was wanting to express, what would that be? And if you take a deep breath in with the intention of just going for surrender,
See, I really struggle with that, which is something that we'll get to, but let's continue on this. I'm literally like, there's stuff building up in my throat. Okay, let's go on this process first.
That's okay. So what I'm going to do for everyone just to set a space, because before I'll take you on a process, we'll make sure the space is always clear. So what I'm going to do is create that with sound, if that feels good to everyone. Okay, I'm just going to get what that sound is. Feeling. So then from this space, it's like, I don't even want to do anymore. Can we just sit and bathe in
it? I know, it feels so good.
So from here, all that you will do is breathe into that heart space, hands on your heart. And then bring another hand, your right hand or left, whatever feels good to you in the moment, whichever way your energy is flowing. The other hand into the stomach area, just above the navel, between the sternum and the navel. Take a breath in and out there. And then moving that right hand up to the forehead, taking a breath in and out there. You can imagine a figure eight. Now moving through, we've connected those three spaces. And let that weave through there. Let it just come into its own rhythm. Just breathing and softening. This is the first part of being able to surrender. The more you can surrender to it, the more powerful it is. And from this space, we're going to become aware of the boundaries around your field of existence. So here, imagine yourself in a bubble. It's about an arm's length up above, out to the side, the other side, the front, the back, beneath your feet. It goes the whole way around you, this beautiful golden light bubble. And we're just going to let that encapsulate the current structure of your boundaries at the moment. So whatever it looks like, doesn't matter. You don't have to fix it. And then let it entrain. So softening here, knowing that you're held in this beautiful golden light. Softening. Oh, isn't that easier to be in your body now? So that alone, that one tool is just the most important, because it doesn't matter what your field, the boundaries around it look like at the moment. Mm-hmm. If you just surrender it to this beautiful golden light and let it come in and just hug like a, you know, mother's love, just coming in and just saying, doesn't matter what your problem is, I'm just going to hug you and it's going to make it all better. Mm-hmm. And breathe and soften there. Feel the expansion in that.
Let your whole body. Like too relaxed to say anything.
Yeah. So be in that. Everybody's in the same space. Don't worry.
So this obviously came up. When you're working with people, can you tell me a little bit about common themes that you see throughout the throat chakra?
So the throat chakra, it processes like truths and lies. It processes your psychic expression as well. So it's actually very intuitive. And the lower chakras are all supported by the earth up to the throat. So it's the last one. It's sort of that bridge between. So we'll find that it happens at sort of, you know, those ages of like, you know, late 20s into mid 30s, that's where your attention will be drawn. And so with that, you're going to see like the people that come to me with this ready to do the work are really looking at who am I, and it's all to do around relationships. It's not one person comes to me and they have perfect relationships with the world and with others. It comes back to a relationship trauma is what I see in their field. So, and not even just in this lifetime, it goes back through their soul's timeline. And it's how do I show up and express the fullness of who I am in my divinity, not my wounded human, because, you know, you can trauma bond with anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I could go find other people who have died and then and sit in this bubble of, and this happened and I felt like this emotionally and mentally it was like this. And I'm not discounting any of that. But sitting in it, your energy becomes stuck in a moment in time that you've got to look at some point in any lifetime. If you don't look at it this lifetime, guess what? You get to look at it next time. So you'll create.
You won't miss out. Don't worry.
Yeah. That's what I say to like our neighbors, you know, that are still rebuilding. And I'm like, don't worry. It's still going to be there. What you don't get done today, it's still going to be there for you tomorrow. So look after your own being. Bolster that up. Work on the house of your soul, your body, and then work on your physical house. I was lucky enough to do both. But, yes, yeah, so a big one is their communication. It gets jammed up when they try and, you know, relate to somebody. How do I relate to this person? Like how do I don't know how they're going to respond. So there's a fear of their response to how I show up. And I used to struggle with that. I used to always be fearful of like hurting people and always trying to please them. And then when I accepted, oh, guess what? The person I was trying to please was actually a wounded human with a bunch of trauma that's going to get activated by a smell, by, you know, a thought. And if I activate that in them, well, if I've come from a place of love, anything beyond that, it's actually not mine, and I have to surrender that to them. I can't hold them and say, oh, I'm so sorry I smiled at you today. Like, I've had people get offended because I've smiled at them walking down the street. Why are you so happy? Why are you smiling? I'm like, because I actually feel happy. I'm alive. So to then change who you are in that moment when you're coming from this love-filled place out of fear of how to be received, that's where the evolution is here. The growth is here in this throat chakra. So feeling comfortable showing up in all of your radiance, even if others aren't there yet in their own, showing up in yours and expressing that, like without anything attached to it, no judgment, no, oh, they've responded like this, so that means I can't actually speak those words. And you'll recognize an energy in another person that's similar to that person that got triggered, so you won't show up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the sucky part, which is also the blessing, is that you will get a chance to evolve it because you'll keep magnetizing these people to you that activate that in you so that you can actually shine the light on it and be like, oh, I'm actually changing who I am because I'm scared of how they're going to respond.
Yeah. And I think so many of us do that. And I think for me, it's been feeling as if almost a search for belonging, searching for it in everyone and everything outside of me. And so therefore to belong in this space, you need to, you know, be welcomed by everyone. You know what I mean? Be praised by everyone, be accepted by everyone, be seen by everyone. But that sense of belonging can't actually come from these external places.
No.
And so that's where a lot of my awareness has been taking me recently in really establishing my own sense of belonging. But and something that I really liked that you said, well, that you mentioned, was that it's the last chakra that kind of is the bridge between that earthly energy and then the divine. And so that kind of makes sense that we switch it off at some point in our lives in search of that belonging.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, so we can really fit in, we turn that off. So is that something that you see that's quite common? Like, when do you think commonly people kind of switch it off?
Oh, anytime there's a relationship trauma. So if a baby is born and they're crying with a physical condition, like if they are in some sort of pain, and that's not responded to and soothed, they'll shut it down then. So if they have digestive issues, they're crying and crying and their parents are getting frustrated at them because they don't know what's wrong, they'll shut it down then. I can't speak up for what I want. Then they become really self-reliant and then I'm a lone wolf. That was me.
Yeah.
So with that, and the reason what happens in each chakra is we are elemental beings as well. So we have to have the elements flowing through us at all times. And wherever one element is more dominant, the other sort of step back, kind of like, you know, a singing group. There'll be one standing at the front at any one moment and then they'll come in and harmonize together. Mm-hmm. So our energy works through that, especially through the elemental being. And with that, so the earth element is in that base chakra. So if the foundation there isn't clear and strong and aligned with that divinity, those divine qualities and, you know, all of the thoughts and the beliefs associated with that, like our divine nature, then it's not going to be able to support the expression here. It can't make its way up through the rest because it wasn't built out down there. So if you look at it, I call it the central, like, column of light. And within that, you can see, okay, that one's got a good foundation. That one's missing this element in there. And then you can see where the structure isn't built out properly. So I always see in the throat chakra, there's very minimal, like, of somebody who's stuck there, including like myself when I was first opening it up, I was constantly stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll see which elements aren't flowing through there. They need more fire. Okay, what does that sound like? Don't even try and make it a logical thing. Don't even bring your mind into it. Fire, what does that sound like? Ugh. or a laugh if it's a joyful expression of fire. Like, I have a lot of fire that moves through my expression, like this just radiance. And so I would shut it down when I'd feel something anger me. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, ah, and anger is just an emotion. It's not a quality. And where we get confused with our expression of who we are, a lot of people are just using this throat center as a way to express all of the yuck, the mess of those lower emotions in those lower chakras. So if you look at it, it's got to work its way up that way to express out here. So those energies, if they're not built out and flowing through each chakra beneath this one, you're not going to have this be fully liberated and like balanced and be able to harmonize with the world around you or within you. So the harmony with our expression comes from creating harmony with our relationships within all aspects of our being,
yeah,
within all aspects of our elemental being, and with the different sounds, the way that we sound. Like, it's okay to feel angry. What does that sound like? Like, oh, like, like,
yeah,
just get it out. And so when I feel an emotion that is not true to my nature, mm-hmm, it's not one of those divine qualities, I recognize it as though it's not actually me. So it's really important to not say, well, I'm angry right now. Like, how many times do you hear people say to yourself, I'm angry or I'm sad? No, you're not those things. You feel those things. So change your words. I feel angry. And then you become more confident with expressing it. You're not attached to it. So that supports your non-attachment quality as that divine human template. I'm not attached to the emotion, so it can flow through me. That's fine. And the emotions, the water element, you know, in that sacral chakra. So if that's not free flowing with your emotions, where they can move and be expressed in a way that's aligned with your divine human nature, then you'll still be expressing it from the wounded human template, which is blame, shame, punishment. Yeah? How many times have you been around someone and they've been activated and straight away they go blaming, well, this happened and this happened. So something will happen with hubby, great example, relationship, intimate relationship, because they're in your inner circle,
mm-hmm,
where how many times are people like, well, they can't handle me. They just blow up at me. Like, they can't handle my fire. Like, I can handle your fire when you're being authentic with it, love, but it's up to you to manage that and be responsible for how you express it. Fire is illumination. It's radiance. It's warmth. It doesn't have to be volatile and dangerous and destructive. It can come out in a way that's useful to heal and bring harmony. So something will happen with hubby and he'll have something activated. I can see his energy as soon as I hop up. And I'll see that and then I'll just say, are you okay? Because something's going on there. And be like, yeah, I'm fine. I just didn't sleep well. I'm like, what are you doing? You attached it to sleeping? Because you've had less sleep before and shown up really vibrant and happy. So maybe it's not about the sleep? He's like, yes. Like, he's smiling, but yes. That's how we deal with it. Like, oh, and that means I've actually got to do something about it because it means it's happening within me. I can't just blame it on that and go have a nap and feel better. And sometimes it is just that you're tired, but I'll be tired and still be vibrant because I'm working the fire element through while staying true to the qualities of my divinity. I'm not a victim to a lack of sleep. There's things that could have happened, yeah, but I chose to show up for my children when they needed me and couldn't sleep. I chose that. I didn't have to. I could have yelled and screamed at them and said, just go back to sleep. That's not me at all. I would shut this sucker down and zip this up permanently if that was ever a way that I would treat them. So for me, it's really important. If I want to show up in my fullest expression, I won't do it unless I'm fully aligned. So my job is keep aligning, keep it clear, purify here the stuff that's held in those lower chakras. Purify it here, let it come out beautifully.
Hello, beautiful. It is Jordan sliding in here to share a little bit about one of our favorite offerings and creations, our Flow with the Moon membership. An intention that I've always held for this membership is for it to be a sanctuary. A sanctuary and a safe space for you to dip in and out of whenever you're feeling called to hear the whispers of your soul, whenever you're feeling called to re-energize yourself with your own energy, whenever you're feeling called to understand something with greater clarity or release what you're ready to be free from. This membership is a sacred space for exploration of self, for transformation, and for beautiful healing. Each month, a new guide is uploaded that has the space for soul exploration, journal prompts and intention settings, a new energy ritual created by me, a live full moon circle, a monthly tarot reading and astrology overview, and when the inspiration comes, intermittent bonus rituals and collaborations. We have explored topics like breathwork, Akashic records, numerology, past lives, tapping, wealth, inner child healing, and so much more, and of course, lots of astrology. I would love to invite you into this sacred space if you feel the resonance in your energy and in your body saying yes. You can find us at girlandhermoon.com and join us from there. And now, getting back to today's episode.
So what you're saying about not I am angry, but there is, I'm feeling angry, or I usually... It's quite odd. I see like a little grizzly bear when I think of anger, and it's just this little grizzly bear in my field. And that is that non-attachment. And that helps me express it. But a lot of us are not comfortable with feeling certain emotions, especially at the depth that they're asking of us. So having that non-attachment and being able to feel it is definitely helpful in experiencing and expressing it. But what are some other ways if we are uncomfortable with really feeling that depth of emotion?
So depending on what it's attached to, if it's a momentary thing of like, damn it, it's raining again. I had so much stuff I wanted to do outside today. So that is just a victim, an expression of the victim quality, which is a wounded human. So I can easily just say, well, it's got to rain. The earth gets to express herself. Oh, she's teaching me that it's okay to express myself even if other people aren't comfortable with it, because she's not doing it saying, I'm going to rain on them today because I know they've got all these plans. She's just moving through her cycles. So then it becomes let the earth teach you, which is why we're here. She is the abundance. She is these divine qualities that we're here to really amplify and evolve into as humans, not just as, you know, the wounded ones that have fought battle after battle and it's not been easy and all of this. Like, I could easily have gone the victim route with my life, everything that I've gone through. Like, why did I die? Like, you know, why did all these things happen? Like, I was sick for 12 years. I woke up one day and couldn't move or walk or talk. All I could do was, I couldn't even cry properly. Just a tear fell out. And hubby's looking at me like, what is going on? He was going to call the ambulance. And all I could do was just look blankly at him. I didn't know what was going on. I just woke up like it. And that was when I first went inwards. That was where my journey really started, where I learned so much of what I know now. And then on top of that, there's been other teachers like who have taught me, like Dominique Oyston. She's been incredible for my voice and accepting it as a human and opening that up, like to express more comfortably my sounds. She's just been phenomenal. But, yes, yeah, so for me moving through and going within, I had nowhere else to go. I couldn't distract myself with moving my body physically and moving the 3D anymore. That was taken away from me. I could have easily gone, why the heck did this happen to me? Like, this is wrong. Instead, I was like, crap, what the heck is going on? How do I fix it? So I went down that path of, okay, let's try and fix it. And then, like, it got better. Some days were better. Like, I remember army crawling to try and get to the toilet because hubby still had to work. We still had bills to pay. So I was at home by myself with our two little pups. They were my, oh, just everything. They were my babies and my first children. But army crawling to the toilet and then dragging myself up on there, like just to a basic bodily function, because I did not want to lose my dignity and pee that bed. I was not letting it take that. So I still felt empowered. And Dad's words always rung through. You get to choose how much something hurts you. I'm like, this is not going to hurt me. It's an experience. I'm yet to have it revealed why, but I'll go on the journey, whatever that looks like. And so going inwards was the only place I could go, and that's where I really got to learn the landscape. And our inner landscapes are just as magnificent as this earth. So to go in and meet the water element of the emotions when it's just, it feels like it's bucketing down for days and days and it's not letting up, to meet it and be like, okay, this is just, it's got to move through. That's fine. Where, what can I activate? What's the medicine for this overactive water element? Where can I harmonize that and bring in some sunlight? Because what's missing when it's raining? Generally, there's no sun because it's cloudy. So that's where I go within, activate the fire element, plug into that sunlight up above and hold myself in this bubble and just let it autocorrect. But, yeah, so it's all about being comfortable with seeing your emotions not as an identity, but just as an emotion, just as a tool, just as a way to express yourself. You can use fire, like this is my fire now, the passion here.
I love fire energy. I love it. Yeah.
So this is how I choose to use the fire element. The anger that gets activated, like for me, the anger is like this powerful, we got to change this, guys. You don't get to sit in the dark. Like my mission, and this sounds terrible, to anybody who's not understanding what we're talking about, and that's okay. You can hold me to the fire if you want, that's fine. But I am determined to let the wounded human become extinct. I'm here to wipe that sucker out, and we are replacing it. Just as we evolved from being cavemen all the way to where we are now, we're in the middle of an evolution into a divine human expression. So it's not okay for someone to come at me and be all really willful and just vomiting their emotions on me. I'm not available to that. You go back, you make sense of it and come back and talk to me calmly, because that's the respect I'm showing you. So hubby and I don't go off at each other. We don't fight. There's passion like this. This is the extent of it. This is, there's no more than that. I'm like, wake up, see it if you want to, but if not, I'm okay. I'll just step back. As the water element comes in and cools it down, it's like detach from it. So recognizing we have so many different expressions, energy is expressed very differently in different frequencies. And the emotions is just one frequency. Your physical nature is elemental in nature. It's another frequency. Your thoughts exist in another frequency. Yeah? So recognizing you've got all these different parts of you, but you are none of them, yet you're all of them. They help you. They are a vessel to express your divinity, those qualities. When I say your divinity, I mean those qualities. Could you imagine a world where everybody is responsible for what comes up in them and they know exactly how to move it through, so that when they come to speak and connect with others on the planet, with the planet herself, could you imagine if everybody was intentional with the way that they planted a flower or a vegetable? Just with so much love and gratitude. Mm. And I'm going to nurture you. And then when you're blossoming, I'm going to eat you. But I'm going to turn you in.
That took a turn.
Yeah. And then it's going to take another turn. I'm going to turn you into a beautiful expression of divine love, light, and wisdom. Mm. Everything that goes into my body, everything that comes into my field, my goal is to alchemize it into more love on the planet. That's it. It's not, no more complicated than that. Like, I'm a pretty simple person. But yeah, detach from identifying yourself as your emotions, as those previous experiences, because you're not them. None of that is true to who you are. You are at your core a being of, there's so much love that's possible, like to open up and move through us. The only thing that stops us is our old patterning and programming. What we've learned from our humans that we came through with in this lifetime and all the other ones from our experiences. I tell people all the time, I have the worst memory. They'll be like, did this happen? I can't, guide me through it and then we'll see if I remember. If I'm meant to remember it, I'll remember.
That's so funny. I'm the same.
Yeah.
Mustafa remembers every single thing in the world and I'm like, what are you talking about? We didn't do this. I don't know what you're saying.
If I'm not meant to recall it in that moment, I'm not going to. I trust that it will show up when I'm meant to look at it, just as when I'm journeying through someone's timeline. I'm not going to stop and look at this dead flower here that had some sort of impact on them because that was their first experience of death, something dying. Well, chances are it's a bit bigger than if it affected them that much. Chances are it goes a bit further back and yeah, something a bit bigger. So we'll go there. But yeah, it's much easier if you're not comfortable expressing your emotions. I know we went the long way around there.
Oh, you're good.
But just settle into it and say, okay, if this emotion is actually just an expression of an element moving through my body, which is a part of how I show up in the world, okay, how do I express it in a way that causes no harm? Like, what is it? And no judgment. I don't care if people see me or hear me. Like, my neighbors, they're like, there's a pretty big distance between us. They're like, oh, Patty's singing again. I'm like, sorry about the growls you might have heard.
Well, just a little side note, I feel like your voice has really developed since I first met you.
Massively. That's the work with Dominique.
Yeah.
She taught me how to hold my body structurally because I was patterned to protect and shut this down because I didn't want to hurt people. And then she taught me, yeah, she's been absolutely phenomenal. If you want to be comfortable with your voice in its physical expression, she's your gal.
I might have to do a quick Google search after this. Mustafa actually said to me the other day, he said, your voice, as in me, has completely shifted since I met you. And this was, you know, 7 years ago. We've been together for a while. But he said, there's so much of you present in your voice, whereas before it was like empty.
Aww.
Which I, if it, that was profound to me, considering like my journey with my voice and my journey with speaking. So we met 2020, I think. 2020?
I'm not sure. So
it wasn't that long ago, but
because I'd had the operation 2019 and then we started in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even then, I cannot tell you how nervous I was to speak on those calls. So we were in like a group coaching type of environment. Speaking on those calls, my body would go into a mode of freak out and my voice would come out so small. And that's like, that's the thing throughout my entire life. People are like, I can't hear you. Can you speak up? And I'm like, I'm talking as loud as I can. I just have a little voice. But now there's so much more depth in it. And the thought of doing something like this, having a podcast, talking to you, and there's possibly people listening.
Oh, is there?
I mean, hopefully. I would have run a million miles in the opposite direction not too long ago. Yeah. And I don't know, I wanted to explore that with you because I feel like I'm definitely not the only one. And I think that, like you've mentioned, I don't know where you mentioned it, but I think you did. This is the larger picture is, I think, not just fear of being heard, but and not just fear of being physically seen, but fear of really being seen and acknowledged, like all of us. And I think that just the voice was one of the way that I manifested that hiding kind of element.
Yeah.
Yeah. why do you think that this is so common?
If we look at the energy of it,
yeah,
it's happening. Like, it's that wounded human template.
Yeah,
bring it back to its simplest form. That's all it is. So it's that whole, if I am seen, they might kill me. Like, if you're in a battle at the moment between these two templates, as humanity is, and we're seeing it everywhere, and your version of that personally is, if I'm seen, they might kill me. And what that looks like is they will kill a certain, like, if I build myself up to see myself as this identity, as this divine human, and they come in and they start hammering me for what I'm saying, well, maybe I'm not this divine human, because they are the divine human. If they're speaking like that, chances are they're not a divine human. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't built that template out. Those qualities aren't there. Because you can say anything you need to say, anything that you need to express can be done in a way that is loving and kind. Like, when hubby and I are out of alignment and I'm seeing him show up in a certain way, and I'm like, hey, that's not okay to be speaking to them like that, like our little people. That's where any of our stuff comes up. I'm like, no, that's not all right. Who just spoke to them then? Was it your soul light or was it that wounded self? Okay, so he'll go and do his processes to move it all through. And then he comes back and he apologizes to them. So that way they are seen and acknowledged that that wasn't okay. And in the meantime, I'm explaining to them, that wasn't okay the way Dad spoke to you then. But I do also explain to them that's because his energy was stuck and he wasn't aware. He hadn't shifted it yet. But it was nothing to do with you, sweetheart. And then they're like, oh, okay, so then they can surrender it. There's non-attachment. They don't say, when I show up like this, that's not safe. My own dad attacks me for it. They know, oh, that's actually Dad's crap, nothing to do with me. And I just got caught in the crossfire. So we weren't taught that in relationships. So this is the part that we're really looking at, is how do we show up in relationship to others and in relationship to this new version of ourselves, which is pretty foreign. We haven't always been taught that you can feel angry and you can still express your hurt, but it doesn't have to be done through the, like the violence, or it doesn't have to be done through the passive aggressive modes. Like, there's other ways. There's always a pathway for you to express whatever's going on. And your connection, your self-worth, a lot of people have attached that to their relationships and how they've been treated in relationships. I've taken all that away from everyone. Nobody has the right to determine my self-worth in any way, shape, or form. Nobody gets to judge me for how I'm showing up, because I know where I'm out of alignment. I have radical self-awareness and I'm not afraid to pull myself up and say, hey, girl, that wasn't in alignment here. And then I will go and correct that with whatever the situation is. I shifted in myself first before I meet that, though, and go correct.
So in the moment, if we see ourselves acting in a particular way or we feel a certain something, what is like a quick, is this real or is this old? What is a quick way to, I guess, feel into the truth of that moment?
In the moment, pause, recognize you're activated, take a breath, come back into your body and your heart, even place your hands on those spots, on that stomach area, just above the navel, and on the heart. And just come back in, let those elements settle. And then as that settles, the other person can be going off of their head, whatever they want to be doing, whatever they want, that's absolutely fine. That's what they're choosing to do. But in that moment, you take responsibility, you pull yourself back out of it, you detach from the situation, which can sometimes make the person even more angrier, because you're no longer available and they don't have your fire to go off. They were building this huge big fire so there'd be an eruption so they would get the shift they need. I'm not supporting that. I'm not available to eruptions. Good day. It's the reason I live in an extinct volcano. No eruptions here, baby. They're all done. But in the moment, pause and come back into your own being. Disconnect from that co-creative space with them and be in your own bubble. Take a moment. There is nothing wrong with taking a moment. It doesn't all have to be sorted in that moment. And the best thing to do is even let them calm down. But if you detach and say, okay, I've got a whole lot of stuff activated here and I feel like in this moment I'm not going to get anything out in a way that feels true to who I am. So I'm just going to pull back and I'm going to breathe and I'm going to sit with it and be with it. And then you just track it through your own being. What's this actually about? If this wasn't about me and it was about them, what would I see more clearly? If I was holding space for them in a loving way that could help them move through whatever this is, how would I show up? And then just let that drop in. And then look at yourself. If I was holding space for myself, or I wanted somebody to hold a space for me, so I felt safe to look at this, what would that space feel like? And breathe and soften and just sound. Oh, and then there might be some sadness. There might be some crying. Usually there's grief in that element. Let that
movement.
Yes. Let it all keep moving, but let it move within you, because we have an inner being that needs support, that needs nourishment. You've got these organs in you that need to be nourished with the elements as well. That's why we eat. That's why we drink. So in that moment where it's all outward, it's all projected and it's being like it's bombarding you, it's all coming in from outside, stop. Have the boundary there. Take a pause, breathe and come back in yourself. Leave them carrying on. But what I really love doing in a moment where someone's just carrying on is just say, I've just got to go to the loo. Hold on a second. Just totally.
For anyone not Australian, the loo is the toilet.
Oh, sorry. Or fancy version, I'm just going to go to the bathroom quickly. But that's a brilliant one. And then go give yourself a moment to read. You don't have to stay in the battle. Even in battles that go on for days and months and years, they swap out the army, don't they? Some get some rest time. So give yourself that rest time, come back out, and then in that moment, go and create your bubble, that template, and sit in that, be filled in, and choose what you want to do with the situation. Is it really that significant? Is it just that I feel they're attacking my identity, so now I'm questioning my identity and I'm trying to justify that I'm actually not that way or that I am that way? What if I free them from it and say, look, I'm really sorry if I've hurt you in any way. I really, that wasn't my intention and I'm sorry for that. And what if you just let that be complete and move away and then you get to journey through it all, your own stuff, and say, how was I showing up? Was it a wounded human expression there? Was I coming from a passive aggressive? Was I like raging on them? Like, what was my intention in that moment? Was it to defend myself? If you're defending yourself, you're not in your divine human template.
So then a question that I have is, how do we not make this a mental thing when we're asking these questions? Because then your mind goes in all these different directions and, you know, you're kind of searching for things externally sometimes when you're asking a lot of questions. How do we make it a full embodied experience?
That's the hand on the heart and the hand on that belly area, and really feel them there. Don't just place them. Don't mentally place your hands. Must put hand here. Must put hand here. Really put them there and connect with those aspects of your being, that aspect in your belly that is your will to do in the world, your action, the part of you that takes action, and then your heart, that beautiful, loving, unconditioned and unconditional loving heart. That's true to who you are. And then thank this and say, okay, you don't have to go to battle for us anymore, because usually it's a battle of words. You know, a lot of people have evolved beyond physical confrontations, so they'll come into a battle of the minds and then the words, and it's who can be the smartest and who can make this point, who can debate this. I'm not up for debate.
No.
I don't have a single enemy on this planet because I'm not at war with anyone. No, I don't need to defend myself against anyone because I know who I am in every moment. And if I'm at a certain moment in my journey where I'm not showing up clearly, I will feel it because I feel it in my gut straight away. I'm like, oh, that's hit hard. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take a sec. Just going to go to the toilet, bathroom. Remove yourself from it. And that's the evolution of that, you know, survival response of fight, flight, and, you know, all of those ones. So it's just simply picking yourself up, carrying all of you away, not leaving parts of you there, your mind there to keep battling while you're, you know, the part of you that takes action in the world runs off because it's scared. It's saying, okay, I'm bringing all of me with me for my own healing. They've got themselves. Or if you can't get away, just say, look, I feel like this is really intense and we're not going to get anywhere right now. So I'd really love to just take a moment because that feels best. I'm going to go take a moment and work through the stuff that's activated in me because that's my responsibility. And then if we need to, we'll come back and chat about it at a later date. But I am deeply, deeply sorry for upsetting you in any way and activating you. It was never my intention. And toddle off. That's the detachment. You don't take responsibility for something that's activated in somebody else emotionally at any point. It's not for you if it's happening in you. It's for you, not for anyone else. So it's your responsibility to move into that inner landscape. But first, honor something's activated in them, and we acknowledge that. That's mm-hmm. our compassion, even though we're not responsible.
You mentioned something earlier about when you're in a session with someone, you are continuously kind of checking in with the nervous system to see how it's handling all of this movement of energy and emotion coming up. What are some of the ways that we can check in with our own nervous system just to make sure that we're not kind of falling apart?
You'll be breathing up here.
So the chest upwards?
Yeah, you'll just be breathing through here. So it's all the activity for how you're expressing in that moment of whatever's going on, if it's a conflict, whatever's going on, all the expression is coming from here. And you'll see people's chest start.
Just for those listening, it'll go up above the chest and around the head.
Yeah. Okay. So what you do is that's where you know this is a real mental battle going on here and that's not my soul light being fully expressed. So then what you would do is just check in, where's my breath? Oh, crap, yeah.
I've left my body behind. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you would come back. But you will start, whenever you're engaged with that other person, because it's happening in that frequency of the mental body, the thought field, whenever you're engaged there, you're not going to be able to come back into your body. So somebody who's engaging in battle from their body is going to speak more about how they're feeling about this and I feel really wrong or, you know, like, or I am this and I'm that. Whereas somebody who's speaking from their heart, the conversation looks really different. It's, look, I feel really upset and I know there's a level of my own stuff in here, but when you spoke to me then it didn't feel like it was coming from a place of love. It felt like it was coming from somewhere else. But I don't even need to have those conversations, honestly, because I'm not here to change the other person. Unless it's an intimate relationship like with my partner, then I'll have those types of conversations because we're here to grow together. But if it's happening with somebody, because everybody that enters your life has a certain place in your field where they belong and there's a boundary in between each of these places in your field. So there's people in your inner circle, which are those you choose, and there's usually about five. The maximum we can handle is about five people in that inner circle where you feel responsible for one another and you feel one another's stuff. You're more open to reading them and holding them. That's the capacity, is about five in that layer.
I don't think I could handle five in there.
Yes. So don't worry. At the moment you're working on this core one. Mm. This core one is you.
Mm.
So if that's really built out and structured, then you'll have more available to those five, and then it can, anything from there will overflow into the other layers, which then becomes like your family that don't live in your household, or then beyond there, and it goes out and out and out, and it's endless, it's infinite, into the unseen, you know, the spirit world. Mm-hmm. So you can look at and say, okay, where in my field is this person? Is this a colleague? And we're co-creating together and there's something going on here. Okay, let's look at what's the intention here. What's the combined goal? Because we're co-creating in this moment. Chances are you're only co-creating with your colleague. So you'll come from this place of how can we create this incredible being that is whatever this is, whether it is a post or, you know, a conversation, whatever that is. Like you and I said at the start of this, our intention, what that is, and that's just to support humanity at large to just show up in their beautiful soul light, feeling fully held and supported, supercharged to do it. So when you're both clear on the intention, then it makes it a lot easier to come back in alignment with it when something gets activated in our wounded human self. Because the divine template, like our divine human template, not much activates it. Like when that's where I hang out most of the time, it takes a fair bit to activate me, like where it gets, I embody it, I should say. I'll catch, you know, because I'm still building it out and something would activate. I'm like, oh, damn it, I've got to work on this. Okay. I'll breathe, soften, move. And, oh, okay, that goes back a whole lot deeper. Oh, crap. No, this is lifetimes. There's a full rebirth happening here. Then I'll spend the time with that. But when you are in some type of conflict, something's been activated in you that doesn't feel good to your system. Your nervous system has you mentally battling to defend your character. Know who your character is, number one. Be clear on your intention. When you're showing up to have this conversation with this person, what's your intention? Is it because I'm tired and I'm trying to take their power? Like my hubby and my 9-year-old are brilliant for this, and even my 3-year-old, they are brilliant. They all go to battle and I watch and I'm like, wow. So then I'll step in and I'll be like, guys, how's everyone feeling physically? Is a little bit tired? Is your body wanting a bit of rest? Is your mind wanting to just, And each one will go through and they'll say what they're feeling. I'm like, so is there a chance you're trying to take somebody else's power? Is there a chance you're trying to activate their fire so it activates yours? And then sure enough, they've realized that's exactly what's gone on. And then they go their separate ways and go nurture themselves. Mm. So being clear, like, having a willingness to see the big picture in any situation, that's that detaching, that non-attachment, your ability to surrender and become a witness to the situation. And that can only happen when you step out of that mental battle with someone. Mental battle, if you're in any kind of battle, you're in your nervous system is activated. So come back into your body and first thing to do is come out of the battle. Honor where they're at. Look, I'm really sorry that this has gone the way that it has. I feel like there's no clear communication that's going to happen at the moment, so I need to go and sort myself out and work through what's been activated in me. But I am deeply sorry that you're feeling the way that you're feeling and for any part I've played in that. Who can be mad at that? And anybody that continues to then sit there going, blah, 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 it's like, dude, you got to go see a therapist. You don't say that to them, but you know really then that it's actually nothing to do with you. And then it gives you, oh, I'm not questioning my identity and my character now because I actually know who I am. And I was in that space when I voiced that to that person. So that's their journey now.
It is so much about presence, awareness, intention, isn't it? Everything.
Yep.
Laced into every moment, into every interaction, into every action, into every thought. Yeah, those three things.
And your ability to step back and become witness to anything. That's that detachment, non-attachment. Yeah. That's massive. Whenever you're attaching one thread of yourself to that experience, you can't see it clearly. And this is energy work. If I was to show up in a session with someone and be fully attached to them personally in any way, I can treat hubby, I can treat my children because I can detach from them. And if I couldn't, I wouldn't treat them. But I see a lot of healers that will show up wanting to heal, but they've attached so much of their identity to their capacity to heal someone and they need the external validation. They need them to say, yes, I feel so much better. Thank you so much. You're amazing. If I don't even get a thank you after a session, I'm fine. Like, I've shown up in the way I was called to show up in that day. Fine. I've never once not gotten a thank you, but it's irrelevant to me. But because of that non-attachment and that lack of ego, nobody can fight with me about who I am because I know so deeply and I'm so clear. Before every interaction, I have an intention set. I set the theme for my day in the morning before I even open my eyes. I've always done that since I was about 15. And then from there, anything else that happens, I just know that it was guided by that and it's for either my own growth or theirs.
What was your theme this morning?
Same as it is every day. Showing up and being a beautiful expression of divine love, light, and wisdom upon the earth through my own radiant divine soul spirit light's expression through every aspect of my being, whatever it looks like. And in that bubble, and then I call in the right relationships. And I know when it's a right relationship because it feels like the energy that I've aligned to. And I know if it's not, because it doesn't feel aligned. So I know this is a really beautiful one that I've taught my little girl because she was having trouble with relationships at school. And this one's going to be super useful for everyone. This is exciting. Mm-hmm. So knowing that everybody has a place in your field and there's boundaries in between each of those layers, she was having trouble with kids at school when she reintegrated because she'd been homeschooling with us during the whole COVID thing.
Mm.
So when she went back, she did really well, but then there was things that crept in and she was used to being so open and letting everybody in her bubble because we are family and we
are space. Yeah.
So going to school, oh, wait, these people actually belong out here in this other area of my field. She's becoming more aware of her field and its extent. It's not just here. It's actually a bit further out. So the way I explained it to her is there's people that are like, hey, come here, I've missed you. And they belong in this part of your field. So you put them over here. And there's other people that are like, hey, how are you? And then you keep going. You're like, they go over here. And then there's the people you look at and go, oh, I don't need them to even engage with me at all. So then you leave them out there. They're not part of your journey.
Hmm.
Those are the categories that you look at. So whenever somebody comes into your field, just breathe and soften and pay attention to how it feels in your tummy. Do you feel comfortable with them? If not, keep them out there for now. Hi, if you're unsure how to interact. Hi, how was your day? Oh, that's great. Good to see you. Keep going. Or then if it is somebody that is closer to you, oh, my gosh, I've missed you. What have you been doing? We've been doing this and this, like how we catch up. We're in this, that's our relationship. So being crystal clear and okay with the fact that not everybody gets to be in your inner circle. And it doesn't mean you love them any less. It's just you know that there's a different energetic structure going on. So their elemental flow of energy is very different through their system. And it may be more wired to the wounded human. And for me, I know for people I let in my inner circle, I learn it the hard way, they have to be really responsible. Like, and have a certain, you know, emotional intelligence to them where they know, hang on, this is actually my responsibility. So then we can shop and connect, but we're okay with not chatting for long periods of time because we know it's nothing to do with each other and we're still living our own lives. But I can't have people in my inner circle that are taking me on and wanting me as their mum and calling them all day, every day, or checking in on them every day. It's not my responsibility because that's not my role in their life. They've got their own inner circle for that, if that makes sense.
So say that you've already kind of established that dynamic with someone unintentionally. How do you begin to put intention into that and place those boundaries around there and kind of change that dynamic?
You have to surrender. You have to first accept that the old you made that and created that relationship, and then surrender it and trust that you showing up in a way that is more aligned to how your energy flows in those relationships is going to shock them. Mm-hmm. They may not like it. They may act up and they may just not want to borrow of you anymore because they're not getting what they want from you anymore. So you've got to be willing that it wasn't a right relationship. Like you've got to be willing to accept that wasn't perhaps a right relationship for you and let it go, shed it. Just like the snake sheds her skin. Easily and all at once, without any judgment on either part, it just wasn't the right energetic match.
And what if it's someone that you know, someone, I'm thinking of a lot of dynamics that people I know have with like family members, for example, that isn't in service, like their dynamic isn't serving anyone, but you still want that relationship.
So you surrender that to becoming a right relationship. So I've been restructuring my relationships as well because I'm opening this up even more and more and expanding it even further. And the way that I'm doing it is I'm just showing up and staying true to who I am. I'm honoring when it's different for them and they're getting to see more of who I truly am. And if they don't like it, then they don't have to be as close to me. And that's okay because it just means that it wasn't meant to be as close as we'd hoped. Like siblings, parents even, like, yeah, it doesn't matter who they are. If it's not a right relationship for each of your journeys, it's not a right relationship. So by carrying on and it's false and it's not built on a foundation, at some point it's going to be brought into alignment and it's probably going to be a whole lot more painful as well because you're going to get to a point where you're going to say, I've had enough, I can't do this anymore. If something fizzles out, let it fizzle out. And so with the dynamic, say it's between a child and a parent, and I had this with a client a few weeks ago, and he came through with his mum having his energy was called upon to be the father.
Right, okay. So fathering the mother instead of mother. Yeah, okay.
So physically, humanly, he was birthed through her with him as his mother, but energetically the dynamic had been flipped because she didn't want to meet her own stuff to become the mother and let him guide her through the role of son, like my children, my daughters guide me to be more of a mother through me stepping up and becoming more of the woman that I am, more of the mother, not the little girl parenting them, the one that says, oh, it's not fair, I'm tired, I want to do this and I want to do that too, that says, you know what, I will absolutely do what I want to do at the right time, when it's meant. And what feels best to me right now that feels really juicy is that I read them this bedtime story. I tickle their little backs and tummies and I sing to them with my whole being open to bringing through whatever medicine they need that will help them settle and heal throughout the night. So that feels a whole lot more juicier than I just want to go sit down and just do nothing and just watch TV or something. Like, that's not energizing. So it's the right timing as well. But with that, coming back to that topic, that dynamic, you've got to really look at the relationship and see, what is the dynamic here? Mm-hmm. Am I being their parent? And then realizing where you are and then pulling back a bit and restructuring it. And that gives them then the opportunity to grow into who they were here to be. And a example that I use, whenever you're holding on to a dynamic with someone or an interaction with someone and you're taking it on to heal it for them, then it's like having this incredible resource available. So if it's money, it might be like a $100 note, and both, like, this person desperately needs this money and you're like, here's the money, I've got it for you. But neither of you won't let go of it because you're like, I'll guide you on how you need to spend the money. So let's go spend it together. And then you never give them that money to go and make their own purchase. So they don't learn how to manage their money. They don't have the resource. It's not a foundation in them. What happens if you say, look, this is where you're at. You need money, but what do you actually need the money for? What's going to help you best right now? Could you invest it in something that's going to help you? Instead of just buying a piece of fruit, what if you buy a fruit tree? And, you know, sort of guide them a little. And the way that you guide them is by you showing up in your natural state of divine beauty. That will guide them more. You can let, it's their journey, whatever they do with it. If they burn that money, that's theirs. It's their journey to have, but you're not responsible for it. And the way that you show up is you just be you and see what happens.
I love that because it's also, it's honoring your own, you know, responsibility for self. But I think probably for some of the first times in other people's lives, you're honoring that they have the capacity to be self-responsible and self-reliant and hold themselves up as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't have that opportunity throughout their lives.
Yeah, because they've embodied that victim template for so long.
Yeah, well, that's all they know. That's all they've been shown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't know the feeling of, ooh, self, ooh, courage, strength. Yeah, they haven't, yeah, experienced that.
Their power to create, like, and this is a practice that I do with Bella, my 9-year-old, every morning, because we walk her to school every morning as a family. And so first thing she's got to do, and we do it on the walkover, I'm like, okay, have you set your energy for the day? I'm like, okay, let's do it. So mm-hmm. Where's your bubble? So she plugs in, up, down, out to the side. She has her own take on it. And then we're like, okay, picture yourself held in this gold light, this gold bubble, and breathe and soften there now. And then I say to her, what sort of day are you going to create today? And she rattles them all off, but she used to do it from a mental perspective. So she'd be like, one where I feel safe and confident and loved and loving and joyful and all of the things are important to her to feel in her day at school. And I'm like, okay, so now try it by saying safe and then breathing in and out and bring it through, wriggle it into your body so it's actually a movement in your body and it has a place to express and be in your body. And then she'll do the next one and she goes through and does all of them. Like, okay, how do you feel? And I can feel her energy shifted. So we get to school and then she does her hugs goodbye and off she goes for the day and she's set. Like she feels powerful to create her day.
I said this at the beginning, but like it's so cool to see such intention laced into parenting. Like I feel like it's becoming more of a common thing, but perhaps my generation before and before and before and before, it wasn't really present. Yeah. But it's like I love, you know, even just scrolling on Instagram and seeing different reels of little kids saying affirmations and things like that and really empowering themselves. And I just, it makes me, it's so eternally happy and full that children are being seen again for the power that is within them. You know, they were really not acknowledged, I think, for a very long time. But
because of that whole wounded human template, which was really based around survival, It was so grounded and anchored into every, like, facet of our parents' being is, I've got to feed my family.
Yeah.
There was, like, the depression and everything. Like, the stuff they lived through was, they were designed perfectly to hold us through that. And now we're at a point where we are designed perfectly to hold our children through their emotional expression and development and how they show up. It's the earth is transitioning just as we are transitioning. It can't have one without the other. And so those people, let's honor them for the strength that they had to navigate that. Like the stuff I saw my parents live through, like the stuff my dad did to feed us, he worked constantly. Like we'd go to the bananas with him and, you know, work in the bananas. And those were just so incredible. Like I was putting covers on bananas when I was a little girl, like climbing up a ladder, and it was just the most fun. And one of my favorite things that really drove Dad crazy was he'd have his black tea in his thermos, and at cup of tea time, he'd call it, he'd have the, and I didn't like it because it didn't have milk in it, but I loved the biscuits. So I'd put my biscuits in it and he'd be like, oh, he'd always get my crumbs in the bottom. But he never once went off at me. It was clear he didn't like it, but he just let me do it. Like to me, that was massive that he could like hold that for me, knowing like that meant so much more than just the biscuit crumbs in his tea. So if you can look at, this is where the forgiveness comes in for where people haven't shown up the way that you wanted them to. What capacity did they have? Like during the cleanup of this flood that we've just experienced here in northern New South Wales, like we were completely wiped out. Again, 2017, we had the same thing happen. This time it was even worse. And seeing the way that people have handled it, there's been judgment. It's brought out the best and the worst in people, like these qualities. And I just look at it and I'm like, I myself haven't been able to show up for others in the capacity I've wanted to. Like we lost our businesses. So I couldn't even show up and do my work with the wider community. So what I did was I showed up with my capacity to hold space for myself, my family, and once that was in overflow, my neighbors and our community, I've been treating them like the neighbors. I was re-gridding their house for them because their relationship was so completely broken and they were in fear. Mm. They just didn't even want to like live in there anymore. So I went ahead and like restructured it and re-gridded it and set the template for every single room so that they knew exactly how they would design it, because they couldn't even get a clear picture of how they'd design it because the relationship was so fractured. And then after that, she's like, oh, I'm excited. I actually want to be home now. So my capacity then, it wasn't the way I had have hoped it could have been. Like I would have loved to have just kept showing up for all of my clients, but I knew I didn't have the capacity. So if you can look at those people and what their individual soul journey is and honor that and say they still showed up for me in the way that they could as best they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the liberation for both. And that's a huge part of this expression, that throat center. Everything that we're speaking to today, you know, to you, Jordan, everyone listening, it is all in alignment with, you know, clearing out these foundations and really looking at them honestly and saying, well, is that something I want to keep living from? Is that in alignment with what I want to be creating and expressing on the planet? Is that who I want to be? And just taking stock, clearing it out and bringing in a new foundation and saying, well, I can express my emotions in a way that feel true to who I am. I can feel fearful, but I can feel it as an element moving through my body, that water element, that fear and anxiety of that, oh, what's its sound? Still give it an expression. It doesn't need to be put into words. It can be put into a sound.
And there are other ways too, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people naturally they'll move. Some people, I usually write, create art, anything. If there is any type of expression that is available to you,
yes,
like go down that route. But yeah, I do think, at least for me and where I am, and I never feel alone in my journey, and so I know that it's usually relevant for a wider capacity of people. But for me right now in my journey, it's very much about literally expressing from the throat, like that voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what if your comfort zone is writing and, you know.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. I feel very, very comfortable writing and I love it and it will always be in my life, but I shouldn't, I suppose, have it as almost an escape route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a crutch almost.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I've got this to express, so I'll do that. Because like if I said to you, feel into the elements moving through your body now, staying in your head, aren't you?
I'm fighting against you so hard right now.
I'm going to pull you in. Come on. And I'm actually, if it's okay with you, I'm going to sound it in for you.
Okay.
Does that feel okay?
I just know that right now I wouldn't be I wouldn't have the capacity to sound with you.
No, just you don't have to at all.
Yeah. I'm just totally present with that. Yeah.
We're honoring your whole system, not even just your nervous system. What this will do, it's just going to soften you a little bit more so that once you get off the call even, that you might actually play around with your voice a little bit today. And you might go out into the sun and look at a flower and actually connect with that flower and be like, you are so beautiful. Like, I've got these beautiful.
No, I talk to my flowers. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Them. And so you've got an example of something you could do. Like, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to feel into a song that might feel good to them. And this is for everyone. So everyone that's got this energy of this viola, let's bring that medicine of this beautiful plant through, and this will actually be a song for her and from her. That's the intention here. Mm.
My voice is so beautiful.
It's just opening up. Like, I was exactly where you are.
Yeah.
I would never have done it before if I didn't build this relationship. Like, and now I'm like, wait, randomly, like, I'll just. Thank you, darling. But that's the thing. Like, we're in relationship to everything on the planet. And, you know, the flowers, like, everything, when you become aware of that, it opens you up to building more trust in your relationships, because instead of just relying on humans for the relationship, you're looking at these other things and seeing them as real and alive and as an expression of divinity. How can we nurture that in them as well? It doesn't always have to be about the people all the time.
I absolutely connect with that. Even just, you know, look, seeing the earth and the different expressions of the earth as, you know, different personalities. You know, this flower over here and that mushroom over there, completely different vibes. You feel so, like, you really feel that sense of belonging that I was speaking to earlier. You see how intertwined and supported and loved and you are. You're just so part of everything around you. I've been having a lot of fun with that, I would say, this year in particular. That's really been opening up for me.
Yeah, you can feel that base chakra in you is just really filling in, really juicy, like, and it's getting you ready for the creations that are coming through.
Woohoo!
Wink, wink. Whatever they may be.
I don't even know. We'll see.
They're magical, whatever they are. The energy of them is just stunning. So keep building the foundations. Keep opening this up, that throat chakra. Let it be as free and as loved as the rest of your other chakras, and become more comfortable with energy moving through them, and know that it doesn't, there's nothing right or wrong that's going to come through it. But does this feel true to who I am in my divinity, or does this feel like it's possibly just some old wounding and patterning? And am I ready to be done with that? If it doesn't feel good, surrender.
But I, you know what, even in saying that, I think sometimes I will notice this isn't quite right. The texture of this isn't my truth. It's a bit heavier and ickier, but I can feel that there is a part of me that maybe still needs it for a little while. Like, you will know when you're all open and it can move.
Yes.
There might be some reason that a part of you is still holding onto it for safety, and that's okay. You don't need to force yourself into release. Like, you can't. You can't force these things. You just, you let them happen.
Yes. And to really piggyback on that, like, as a physical expression, like, you've got your cough, I've still got, you know, this tumor growing on here. It's like not cancerous, but on my thyroid, and I've had it for years and years and years. And so I'm really becoming aware that this is here, rather than getting frustrated that it's not clearing and I'm doing all the work. I'm like, you are awesome. I'm going to let you keep singing and expressing yourself. And even if you are with me forever, because that's a journey we're meant to have, then I am here for it, and I will just love you and I'll co-create with you.
Whatever. It's also so funny that you brought up the thyroid, because I was like, I wonder if this is going to come up, because we've both had thyroid issues. I had hypothyroidism a few years ago, and I actually remember at that point in my life hearing someone else, I don't know who it was, say that you have thyroid issues because, like, it comes back to this lack of expression. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. That's not me. But I can see it so clearly now.
I was always like, it's totally me. This thing is so jammed up.
I just didn't have that awareness.
It's just a journey, and this is what everyone needs to remember. Your journey is going to look different to the person next to you. Jordan, yours looks different to mine, and it's just about really bearing witness to one another and not judging either one as right or wrong. I'm going too slow. I'm going too fast. Like, I've had people say to me, like, you move too fast for me. And I used to try and slow myself down. And I'm like, well, no, it's perfectly fine. We're just not meant to journey together. That's all. That's fine. And then just giving permission for that to move where it needed to move. It's really that surrendering, that non-attachment, the ability to forgive. These are all things that, if you can really build them out in your system as qualities over, you know, letting the fear dominate and, you know, the lack of self-worth and all those judgments that we have where we've got to defend ourselves. What if you didn't have to defend yourself ever again to anyone? Imagine the power around that. How much energy could move through you? That's what I've opened to. Like, no one gets to judge me. I will answer at the end of my days to whatever I'm meant to answer to. But honestly, we don't answer. Where I went, I wasn't answering to any. I was just getting told, okay, go back, but you've got to really commit to your work, Missy. So I'm like, okay, thanks. See you later. Hopefully not for a long time. But yet in my work, I journey back there all the time.
So the place where you died.
Mm-hmm. And so as I've supported other people who have died, like my mother-in-law for one, like I could track her energy where it was going, and I could align as much as I had permission to, because we always ask for permission when we're working with somebody's energy or even our own energy. We're not always meant to move things. They've got their right timing, that sweet spot. And so I could track as she was leaving her body and the human responses, and her legs were getting, you know, itchy and like restless leg and that sort of vibe to it. And as her energy was moving up and out, because it moves up to go back up and our bodies go back down into the earth. So it's like these energies come together and meet in us, and we create magic with them while we've got these bodies. And then once the creating is done here on earth, they separate and go back to where they're meant to. And then you move on to your next layer of your journey.
It's so profound that you've had that experience.
But it doesn't feel profound. It just feels normal. And that's why I speak about it so normal. People are like, what, you died? I'm like, yeah.
What of it?
It's, and to me, I'm not. It's not coming from a shock factor. It's just how I feel. Like, it was an experience that happened. I'm not attached to it, and I had some massive growth and gifts from it. And that's what I'm taking. I don't have trauma around it anymore. I've worked through all of that stuff, so all of me is on board to just show up in the magic of the gifts that came from that experience. And when it is my time to go, I'm just making sure that my energy is felt very strongly by the people I'm here to serve, so that when I move out of my physical body, if they call upon me, I can show up and they will feel me as present as if I'm right here with them, hugging them. Because I know when the loved one dies, you just want to hug them so bad. You want to feel their hug. So my intention is to make sure that when I wrap my arms around my little people once I'm gone, that they have no doubt that's mom.
That's the most precious intention ever.
Yeah, nice and simple. Whatever it manifests like in the real world, like in the 3D, it doesn't bother me. My intentions are always this, and then I'm open to letting it flow into whatever it's going to be here on earth. Beautiful clay.
This has been such a beautiful conversation.
It has. They always are, though.
I know they always are. I always leave our conversations with just like a lightness. And my cheeks usually hurt from laughing.
Yeah, and stomach. Yeah. And usually starving because we've been talking for so long.
Yeah, I know. I was literally thinking that. I'm getting a bit hungry.
So I knew what we were like, so I had a really big morning tea of protein.
You're clever. Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful conversation. I'm so grateful for you and, you know, being part of this journey with you. And to all of you that are listening as well, like, you're all magnificent, magnificent beings. Like, I can feel the energy, everyone in the future that's coming into it. And it's so special. And just know that you're special and bring back your power to, I actually get to choose how I respond in this moment. And if I want to respond with a growl, I will growl at you. It's not about growling at someone, it's just growling.
This has been beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm actually thinking of releasing this on the equinox.
Ooh.
It just landed on that day and I was like, yeah, that's perfect. So I will be in contact on that day.
That is so exciting. I'm here for it.
Yay. Well, just to end this, if anyone wants to connect with you, how can they do that?
Physically, like in the earthly realm.
Yeah, we're returning to earth now.
You'll find me at these coordinates. Usually hanging out on this star. No, so you can find me at trueessenceliving.com. And I've also got soulradianceacademy.com where I've got some beautiful, super simple tools and courses and things there as well. But
beautiful. And I will put those links wherever you're listening to this.
So the right people can connect. Thank you so much. You are so amazing.
Thank you. You are.
You are. You are. This is you guys included listening. This isn't just me and Jordan.
We're all amazing and adored and appreciated.
Yes.
Let yourself just like sparkle in that for a moment.
Yeah, sparkle with us, guys.
Mm.
Sparkle with pink light. So much love to you all, you magnificent beings. You're doing incredible wherever you are. And I'm supercharging you from afar. Mwah.